Welcome. We're glad y'all are here tonight. Don't we have an awesome praise and worship team? We do. Oh, please go ahead and have a seat. Go ahead and have a seat. Hug some necks. I was just thinking down there during that first song that we were singing. I sort of refer to it as my backslidden years. I was raised in a denominational church. Graduated high school. Couldn't find a church just like my home church, you know. And I don't know, you hear pastor talking about how he, you know, was raised in a small church, and you know, if you're inside it's the back door, and if you're outside it's the front door. And it two rows, it was set up like our chapel, two rows. We had an aisle in the middle, two rows of pews, and a couple aisles on the side, except it had actual real windows on the side. And and I was in the choir. As a high school kid, I was in the choir, and I'm having the hymns, and we're singing hymnals, and that's the songs that I was raised on. And then I went in the Marine Corps. Couldn't find a church just like my home church, so I quit going. Just a piece of advice, don't quit going to church, okay? Don't quit going to church. This is free stuff. This isn't part of my message tonight. This is free stuff. But so I quit going to church. And it was, I don't know, 15, 16 years later, I'm thinking, oh my gosh, what am I doing? What am I doing to my family? What am I doing to my kids? You know, they don't know anything about church or anything. So he decided to go back, and it was far from a denominational church. It was a Rhema church. But oddly enough, I felt comfortable in there, amen? And I said all that to say, one of the more popular songs that was being sung was the first song that we sung tonight. So it was almost like homecoming. Hallelujah. Anyway, we're going to move on. And how many was here this morning or was able to watch online and hear Pastor's message this morning? Amen? Wasn't that awesome? Man, I love it when people get filled with the Holy Spirit. That's awesome when that happens. And but I'll be honest with you, I'm just going to be transparent. I was a bit concerned when he was speaking, when he started speaking. I'm like, good Lord, what's he doing, Father? He's taking the message I'm speaking tonight. But I noticed the direction he was going in, and he focused on the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And primarily, my message tonight is going to go with the leading of the Holy Spirit. So if you're looking for a title, it's going to be Being Led by the Holy Spirit. But you know what? As I sat there and as I got a lump in my throat, my heart started to sink, and I'm like, Pastor, please don't even use the same scriptures I'm using. It finally occurred to me that God knew what I was going to speak on, and God knew what Pastor was going to speak on. And quite honestly, I think that the two messages are going to work in concert with one another, because I think being led by the Holy Spirit is just the very next thing that needs to happen after you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen? So as we just continue going on tonight, the style that I'm pretty much going to speak tonight is... There is so much that can be said about this subject. There's so many scriptures that can be said, and I'm not going to cover them all. I'm just going to speak what's on my heart. But I'm also going to probably give you some real-life experiences, tell you a couple of stories. Actually, I'm going to tell you a couple of truths. They're not stories. It's truth. And as an example of being led by the Holy Spirit, okay? So really, my goal tonight is just to encourage you to continue to stay connected with the Holy Spirit, stay connected with God, pray in the Spirit, pray in tongues, and the more you study and read the Word and pray in the Spirit, you'll set your focus, and it'll help you prepare to be led by the Holy Spirit. Amen? Did you hear me? The more you pray in the Spirit and the more you study the Word, it's going to set your focus on the Spirit and on the Word. And you're going to prepare yourself to be led by the Holy Spirit. Amen? Let's go ahead and jump into some scripture, and let's go to Romans chapter 8. We're all pretty much familiar with it. We'll go to verse 5. We'll go to 5 through 8. So Romans chapter 8, verses 5 through 8. I'm going to read this from the New King James Version. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Let me go ahead and read that again, but I'm going to read it out of the Amplified Version so all the ladies can follow along with me. That's a joke. Guys, you can look over her shoulder if you want to. But in the Amplified, the word says, for those who are living according to the flesh, set their minds on the things of the flesh, which gratify the body. But those who are living according to the Spirit, set their minds on the things of the Spirit, His will and purpose. Now the mind of the flesh is death, but now and forever, because it pursues sin, but the mind of the Spirit is life and peace. The spiritual well-being that comes from walking with God, both now and forever. The mind of the flesh, with its sinful pursuits, is actively hostile to God. It does not submit itself to God's law, since it cannot. And those who are in the flesh, living a life that caters to sinful appetites and impulses, cannot please God. And you know, just a combination of a few other translations, they talk about the people who allow themselves to be dominated by a sinful nature, and they think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Spirit think about things that are pleasing to the Spirit. And I think that that is very crucial when you're trying to be led by the Spirit. If you're not focused on the Holy Spirit, if you're not focused on the Word of God, it's going to be hard to be led by the Spirit. Okay? And I think if you're looking at being led by the Spirit, I'm going to go out on a limb and say that personally, I think that it's impossible to follow God under the new covenant, or virtually impossible to follow God under the new covenant without being led by the Spirit. And I think that that's what we need to focus on and set our minds on. Now, we're all familiar with Romans verse 14 of chapter 8. For as many are as led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. And that brings me to my first illustration or example that I want to give. I think that this particular example, my wife is here, and she's probably thinking she's heard this story 100 times, if not once, but 100. I've told it to my kids. I've told it to my oldest grandson. And when my younger grandchildren get older, I'm going to tell them this story about an experiment with a rat. Yes. In the 1950s, there were two gentlemen, James Olds and Peter Milner. They did an experiment with a rat. And pretty much what they did is they took this rat and they put him inside of a cage. And in one end of the cage, they put a feeder with a little lever that he had to tap. And every time, and there was water there, and they trained this rat to tap the lever. And whenever he tapped the lever, a pellet of food came out. Then the rat would eat. When the rat was hungry, which is pretty much all the time, he'd hit the lever, a pellet of food came out, and then he would eat the food. And this went on for several days. And then what they did is they drilled and they inserted a small electrical probe into the area of the rat's brain that controlled pleasure. Okay? Now, the rat was already trained on how to hit a lever. So they went to the other side of the cage, and they put another lever. And this time, every time the rat would hit the lever, just a very low voltage pulse would hit that probe. And it would excite the pleasure part of his brain. So over a course of a few days, what they've noticed is the rat would hit the pellet of food and eat, get another pellet of food, move to the other side of the cage and hit the lever that would send the pulse into the brain for pleasure. And then it would come back over to the other end, get some more food and eat. But after several days passed, what they've noticed is the rat actually stayed at the other end of the cage and kept hitting the lever for pleasure and never came back over to the first side to get a pellet of food or drink water. It got to the point before the rat died of starvation, it was hitting that pleasure lever over 700 times an hour. And the rat eventually died of starvation. So where was the rat's focus? Was it focused on the pleasure, the natural things, or was it, now granted, a pellet of food is a natural thing, but I'm trying to correlate that to the spiritual side of giving you life, everlasting life. But eating the pellet of food would have kept the rat alive a lot longer, and then maybe go hit the pleasure button once or twice, but it would keep the rat longer. And just naturally speaking, in the animal world, everything has to eat, so everything has a natural instinct to find food and eat food. But this rat allowed that pleasure button to override the natural instinct for survival to live. And that just sort of reminds me of Paul's writings in Ephesians 5, where there's a distinct contrast between being drunk with wine and drunk in the Spirit. Because somebody who allows alcohol to control them and consume them, they're drunk with alcohol. They're allowing themselves to get involved in things they shouldn't. They allow that they get in trouble. We got this thing around our house. We learn stupid games win stupid prizes. And just being consumed by the alcohol, being consumed by the cares of this world, just being consumed with those types of things is not life. But someone who's drunk in the Spirit, they're controlled and consumed by the Holy Spirit who helps give us life. Amen. And it helps us live holy lives. So the Holy Spirit entered you when you decided to give your life to Christ, to be born again. That gave you a well of water inside of you. And that well of water is there to sustain you, okay? But when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, it's rivers. It's not just a river, it's rivers of life. It's rivers of water, amen? And it's those rivers, it's not there for you, in a way it is, but the rivers, those that is for other people. Because we can see in Galatians 5, verses 22 to 23, but the Holy Spirit introduces the kind of fruit in our lives, and we all know this, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So these are the fruit of the Spirit. Yeah, I grew up in Florida, mainly on the east coast of Florida, and what we used to do, particularly in my junior high to high school years, I lived really close, I would say about 3 to 4 miles from the Indian River. I don't know if anybody knows what the Indian River is, but if you look at Florida, you got the mainland Florida, you got a little strip of land that goes to on the east side, and that waterway in the middle is pretty much the Indian River, and then you have the Atlantic Ocean. And we're about 3, 4, maybe 5 miles from the Indian River. So we'd saddle up the horses when we didn't have anything else to do, which we always had something to do. So we saddle up the horses And I'd get my 22 rifle, or I'd get my fishing pole that we had, and we would just ride the horses down to the Indian River, and we would either go shooting, just shooting at whatever is out there to shoot at, you know, bottles or cans or whatever. We would go fishing in the river. And but as we're riding to the river, there was nothing but orange groves. And there's a company called the Indian River Fruit Company, and we had a big freeze in the 90s, and it pretty much shut down a lot of the orange groves because of the freeze. But we still have orange trees there. But we would ride the horses down, and as we're just doing a nice little calm walk with the horses, we would lead it over to an orange tree, pick off an orange, come back over to the dirt road, peel the orange, and we'd eat the orange. We'd go a little bit more, we'd ride over, grab some more oranges, and when we were going out to the river, we'd grab, you know, as pocketfuls as much as we can. But that fruit was for us. Because if you know anything about an orange tree or a citrus tree or a fruit-bearing type of a tree, the roots are in the ground and it pulls up the nutrients in the water. And that helps the tree grow and it helps the tree flourish. And it sends the nutrients and the water out to the branches and out to the leaves and ultimately to the fruit. The fruit is no good to the tree. Amen? Because the fruit takes away the nutrients and the water and stuff that comes up into the tree. The fruit is there for something else. People, animals, whatever. And as long as that fruit's hanging on the tree, it's taking away from the tree. Amen? So the fruit of the Spirit, yes, it's there. It's those things are us that we bear, that we show, that we produce because of the Holy Spirit. Because it's for other people. Because we're supposed to have love towards people. We have the joy, and it brings joy to others. We're peaceful to help bring peace to others. And so on and so forth. So there was one time a few years ago, I was in another city, and we had, myself and two other ministers just got through speaking to, doing a three-day conference with a bunch of youth and some other pastors that was non-Rhema. And the last night that we were there, there was really only about 75, 80 youth and pastors that was there, but 53 of them come up, got filled with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. So we're on our way back out, then we're a little bit early to go to the airport. So a couple of the pastors was with us while we were sitting in the city, you know, getting some snacks on before we went to the airport. And one of the pastors asked me if I could just go walk with him. And we were walking, and there was this huge fountain. The fountain was probably 50, 60 feet across. It was a huge multi-tiered fountain. And it was dry. It wasn't working. But we started walking around the fountain nonetheless, and he says, "Now, I have a question." He says, "I'm one of the ones that got filled with the Holy Spirit tonight, and I know I speak in tongues, but I'm still confused on why I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit." So we started talking, and I tried to educate him on the little things, and he just still had a puzzled look. So I switched gears a little bit, and I pointed to the fountain, and I said, "What's wrong with the fountain?" And he said, "Well, it's broke. The motors, the water pumps and stuff, it's broken. It's not working." I said, "Okay." And I said, "So what is the result of it not working?" He says, "Well, there's no water in it." I said, "Okay. So it's all dry. There's no water." He goes, "Yeah." And I said, "So it's just really sitting there. It has a purpose, but it's not totally fulfilling its purpose because it's just there." He goes, "Yeah." And I says, "Well, what happens whenever they get it fixed and they get the water pumps working?" And he goes, he just looked at me very puzzled again. And he says, well, then they're going to turn the water on and the water starts flowing. I says, okay. And I says, what does it look like? And he goes, oh, it's a beautiful fountain. He goes, the lights are on. He goes, the water's coming from the top and it flows down to the other tiers. And it's just a very beautiful fountain. People come from all over to look at it. I said, okay, that's good. And I said, so what happens if you plug up the drains in the fountain when it's working? And again, he was very puzzled and he looked at the fountain and he says, well, the water will still keep going in from the top, but then it's going to start overflowing and everything around us is going to get wet. I said, okay. I said, being filled with the Holy Spirit and continuously praying in the Spirit, praying in an unknown tongue, is like that fountain. Now he's really looking at me puzzled. He's like, I don't know what you're talking about. And I said, okay. I says, you're married? He goes, yeah. He says, you have kids? He says, yeah. I says, you're a pastor of a church? He goes, yeah. He says, you have a regular job, I know, because you talked about that earlier. He goes, yeah. And I says, when you come home at the end of the day, are you pretty tired? He says, yeah. And I says, well, because all day at work, you got things going on, and that's just knocking some chips out of you. It's draining you a little bit. And I said, anybody that's married knows married life, that sometimes it can be pretty draining as well. You got kids. You just want to sit down and relax and let your brain take a break, and then the kids come home from school, and then the next 2 or 3 hours start running from there. I said, you're a pastor of a church. I said, how many times a day or a week do people call you with situations and issues in their life and they need to talk about them, they need to pray about them? He goes, all the time. And I says, well, by the end of the day, you're like the fountain when it's not working. It's all dried up and it's not totally fulfilling its purpose. But when you start praying in the Spirit every day and you continue to pray in the Spirit, you pray in that unknown tongue, what's going to happen is you're going to continue to be full with the fruits of the Spirit, just like this fountain is full. And whenever you plug up the drains and the water overflows, that's what's really happening, is it's just not getting things wet. The water overflows and it's watering the grass around the sidewalk. It's watering the bushes and the trees that's on the other side of the grass. I said, you're fulfilling your purpose as a Spirit-filled Christian to bring the fruits of the Spirit to other people. And at that point, it was almost like the light bulb came on. And he's like, oh, okay, I get it. And he says, so if I keep praying in the Spirit, I'm going to keep my gas tank filled up. And I says, exactly. That's what it's going to be. You pray in the Spirit, and you're going to keep your gas tank filled up. See, and as we do that, as we pray, we need to continually ask the Holy Spirit to lead us, to guide us, to help us do the things that God wants us to do. And when we're growing as a Christian, we should allow the Spirit to take control over more and more areas of our lives. Not like back in the Scripture in Romans where we allow sinful things to control our lives. We need to let the Holy Spirit control our lives. Let God control our lives. Amen? Now, the Holy Spirit is there to help warn us and guide us, warn us of bad things in life. We can see that in Acts 20. We're not going to go there, but just know in Acts 20 and in 1 Peter 5, the Holy Spirit will be there to warn us of things, because he wants us to live a victorious life here on earth. Now, that reminds me of another story, and probably what I'll do is I'll go ahead and finish after this story, and then we'll finish the message for the next time that we're here together. But there was a time back in the 2000s after we got here, there was, my son had a truck, I was driving another car, my wife was driving a Honda Civic. And mainly because he didn't want to pay gas for the truck, I ended up driving the truck. My wife got my car, and he got her Honda Civic, okay? And that's because we had just moved out here to the land of stop signs. And it's like every time you stop, every time you go, you're using up gas, right? So he was on a lower income, so he took her Civic, which was better on gas, and I ended up driving his truck. It was a 95 Ford F-250 with a big 450 engine in it. That took up a lot of gas. I think brand new from the factory, it was 11 miles to the gallon. It wasn't brand new anymore. I kept sucking sea foam up in it, trying to clean it out and everything. But nonetheless, I'm driving his truck. And just one day, the front end started bouncing a little bit. And I'm like, oh, okay, I probably just got a wheel out of balance. Maybe a little weight fell off or something like that. I'll take care of it when I take care of it. And a few more days go by, and it's bouncing around. And I'm like, wow, I really need to take care of this. But inside, I kept getting a prompting, go to a garage, go to a mechanic. And I kept trying to override that by just saying, it's an out-of-balance tire. I'll go get a speed balance on it, put new weights on it, we're good. Take it to a mechanic. And I kept overriding that. By a few more days later, the whole front end, we're talking maybe a couple of months later, every time I'm going down the road, the whole front end on the right was bouncing like crazy. I couldn't even hit 40 miles an hour. I'm trying to drive this thing on 169, doing 40, 45, and the whole front end's bouncing around. And finally, I just said, okay, I'll take it to a mechanic. So I took it to a mechanic down there in Bixby where I live, and they gave me a ride home. And then he called me up, and he says, I really can't just tell you on the phone what the problem is. He says, you got some bolts missing out of your control arm. He says, you got to come and see this. And I said, okay. So I got to ride back down to the mechanic. And they had the truck up on the lift, and I looked at it. And if you know anything about mechanics, you have a control arm, which is a big metal bracket that basically holds your tire to the frame. And I'm looking in there, and one of the bolts was totally missing out of the control arm. Another bolt was halfway sliding out, and I think it only had one bolt after that. So I was running on about 1.5 bolts when there should be three or four bolts. I was only running with 1.5 bolts in there. And I'm like, wow, this looks bad. He goes, yeah. And I'm like, we just got to fix it. We got to get bolts and put them back in there. And he goes, yeah. And he goes, you know what would have happened if that last bolt come out? I'm like, no. And he says, your control arm, your tire, everything would have flown off, would have broke off, and the truck would have flipped and killed you. And I'm like, oh, okay. You see, the Holy Spirit was trying to warn me. Okay, and short of knocking me on the head and saying, Greg, you idiot, you need to go to a mechanic, thus saith the Lord right now. But he kept warning me. He kept trying to get me to go, and I kept trying to override him and say, no, I kept trying to tell the Holy Spirit what the problem was with the truck. And I never even looked at it, never even looked under it, but he's the one that knows all. Amen? And he's the one trying to tell me you need to get this fixed and get it taken care of. Amen? Hallelujah. So before we go any further, I'm just going to go ahead and pause it right now. This is a good place to stop. Next time I speak, we'll go ahead and pick it up, and we'll talk more about the difference between convicting and condemning, which we know the Holy Spirit doesn't condemn us. But we're going to go ahead and slow down and hold it right there. And you'll get out here a couple of minutes early. But before I do that, as our altar team starts to come down, I just want to remind you folks that we are receiving offerings for the Hagans Christmas. Now, they are, like I've said it before, they're the best pastors on the earth, and I even gone out as far as said that in the universe and the galaxy, we have the best pastors. There's none out there that can beat them. And we are going to receive a love offering over the next few weeks for their Christmas gift. And what I would just encourage you to do in your own time is you could go ahead and text the gift to Hagen to 28950. If you want to fill out an offering envelope and on your way out, just, you know, put it in the church office drop box or something, you can do that. Or the next time you're in service, just go ahead and be prepared to do it as a separate line item on your offering envelope. But if you would, just go ahead and just, you know, be prepared to bless them, because they've been blessing us for so many years, all year long. Amen? Hey, listen, if you have not accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if what we call born again, if you haven't said, "Father, come into my heart, forgive me of my sins, so you can be a child of God," we have some men and some women down here that can pray that prayer with you. If you are born again, but maybe you were like me, you were in your backslidden years and you need to come back up and rededicate your life to God, let's go ahead and do that. We got some men and women down here that'll pray with you. And just like this morning, if you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, so you can have that extra power, okay? You can have that superhero that's continuing to be alive and well inside of you that's overflowing to everybody else, amen? So if you want to do that, if you want to receive Jesus for the first time, if you want to rededicate your life, or if you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, as soon as we're finished here, why don't you come on down here? Ladies, please go over here to the ladies. Men, come over here to the men. If you need prayer for anything, if you need prayer for healing, agreement of prayer for finances or for a job or whatever you need prayer for, come on down here and these men and women will be happy to pray with you. Amen. If you're watching us online, we just thank you for being here with us and watching us. You're part of the Rhema Church, and we just want to welcome you back next time. It'll be this Wednesday at 7 for Hour of Power, next Sunday morning at 10 o'clock, and next Sunday night at 7 p.m. Is there anything else? Amen. Hey, listen, as you leave, we have the Christmas lights on. Just be a little bit cautious out there. Turn your headlights on. Make sure we don't hit people crossing the streets. Amen? Hallelujah. You folks have a good night, and we'll see you back here on Wednesday.